From the Latin to Grand Hyatt of our city in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 22nd day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chip Nellinger. He's at Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Martin, Illinois. We'll talk about the rainfall that's made its way across the Corn Belt over the last 2 days, what impact that has had on the marketplace, and what producers who are left without rain in some large swaths of the southern and southwestern parts of the Corn Belt might do at this point. We'll also take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and see how he expects it to play out over the next couple of weeks. Along the way, I'll bring you up to speed on some of the agricultural news for the afternoon, and we'll check in on the cash grain segment as well right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished in Chicago for Wednesday: July corn down 3¼ cents at $3.93, September at $3.98¼, four lower, December down 4¾ at $4.04, the March down a nickel at $4.10¾, next year's May down 5¼ at $4.14¼, and July of next year down 6 cents in the corn pit at $4.16¾. July soybeans up 4¼, $11.37½, August $11.37¼, $4¾ higher, September up 6, November up 6 as well. It's trading at $11.16¾ on the final for the day, and January at $11.14¼, up 6¾. March on out were lower. Nearby that, March contract at $10.77¾, down a half. July of next year down a penny and a quarter at $10.62½. Bean oil up 19 cents, bean meal down $2.30. July wheat up a quarter of a cent at $4.58¾, December at $4.93, that's down a quarter. It's in the soft red. The hard red down 2 cents at $4.33. December there at $4.76½, down a penny and a half. Live cattle futures at $115.25, 20 cents higher in the June. The August down 7½ at $111.37½. And feeder cattle for the day, August contract $140.15 per 100 pounds. It finished 87½ cents higher. Lean hogs in the July contract at $84.40, down $1.80. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Chip Nellinger is now here. He's with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Chip.
Good afternoon, Todd.
This is an interesting week. Farmers have been watching, worried, wanting a rainfall. Of course, they know when the rain comes that they lose markets, especially for corn, as the case might be this week. We had a big move yesterday, a limit move, 25 cents in both the nearby and the December contract. A little bit of follow-through, but not much. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think the jury is still out. Where you got the rain, producers are definitely liking that. I was just actually, as you were talking here, looking over the Illinois 24-hour precipitation. Lots of areas got at least an inch to as much as almost 4 inches. There was some wind with that. I think the thing to keep in mind is, great. I mean, if you got the rain, absolutely perfect timing, but we're going to need more. And more importantly, we need to kind of see these temperatures stay kind of normal range, you know, 85, 90, not get too hot during pollination. So there still is some risk. And then, you know, of course, it wasn't 100% coverage with this rain either. There's still some dry areas and, you know, where there was crop stress already. So those areas that didn't receive rain still have some production shortfall potential there. So, you know, it didn't mitigate all the risk. And so I really do still think that you're going to find good support under $4 in corn. And, you know, you're still going to see some fluctuations depending on the forecast over the next 3 to 4 weeks. Until at least till we get on the backside of pollination, there's still going to be some jumpy markets here.
So there was a lot of rainfall, most of it in the northern upper parts of the Midwest, and I'll maybe draw a line from Springfield north. However, here at my home in Mahomet, I had Good rain yesterday, 2.3 inches, and 1.9 this morning again. So I've had, 4.2 at home. However, on the farm just north of Springfield, I know that yesterday I had maybe 13 hundredths, and I may have gotten 7/10 last night there, but it's not clear that that was really the case. I may have less than a half inch total. So there's a lot of farms now that are, and farmers are thinking, hey, wait a second. It looks like across the bulk of the growing regions, they've got a really good crop at this point. However, I'm not in that lot. What do I do? Is there anything that they need to be thinking about?
Well, I think number one, which is probably in the forefront of their mind, is if I don't get some more rain, then my production potential is going to shrink. And when that happens, that increases your break even, as a per bushel number. So on rallies, a person may want to think about some sort of a put strategy instead of selling physical bushels in a case where you don't know what your production is and it may be shrinking on a daily basis. At least, a put will lock in a floor, because if everyone else still gets rain, you can go a lot lower at the same time your production is shrinking on your own farm. So I think first and foremost, that's probably the scenario, and maybe go through that. If you have a good idea what your total cost is per acre to put corn and beans in, run that and divide that by a lower final yield number, and you'll see where your break even is and what makes sense. And if we do get a rally back to close or above that level, even figuring in lower yields for your farm, think about some sort of a put strategy rather than committing or potentially overcommitting a bunch of physical grain.
At this point, right now, I would think that mostly we'd be looking forward to next Thursday and the June 30th acreage and grain stocks reports. That normally would be the case. However, there is a vote in the United Kingdom tomorrow to exit the European Union. Most refer to this as Brexit, and it has been shaking the foundations, I think, of lots of the world markets. At least the traders are really worried about what might transpire there.
Yes, very much so, and I think that was part of the reason for much lower volume today, not only in our grain markets, but all markets. And I'm not so sure that wasn't an exaggerating influence yesterday. For sure, the rain forecast and the rain that we saw would have taken corn lower. But if you look across the whole commodity sector in a lot of markets that had been in nice uptrends, you saw a lower day across the board, almost entirely across the commodity sector. So I think you saw a little bit of fund liquidation, just lowering their risk a little bit with the unknown. And right now it does look like most polls are saying it's 50-50. It's too close to call. So there's a huge amount of uncertainty there. And then you throw in the uncertainty with the stocks and acreage report a week from tomorrow, like you mentioned. And then throw on top of that, still uncertainty about if this heat's going to come back in July and if we're going to get more rain. And it's going to make for some continuing volatile trade as we go forward the next few weeks.
And you think we'll find risk on at some point?
Well, some of that depends on the – I'm kind of in the camp that the Brexit thing is going to be a temporary issue. It's not just an overnight change. It's going to take a couple years to kind of implement that if they decide to leave. So I think it's going to be a temporary reaction on that, and that's an afterthought. And then we focus on weather. So I think it still comes down to weather and temperatures. Hot temperatures during pollination and grain fill can hurt you almost as much as a lack of rainfall. So if these hot temperatures come back in July and August, I think it could very much be risk on from an agriculture, corn and bean perspective. So a lot of it's going to boil down to Mother Nature, and obviously nobody can predict that. So, it likely says we're going to have a lot of volatility going forward still.
What's the possibility next week that USDA will find a larger number of acreage in total than was projected back in March? There are still some acres that are not accounted for, and of course there's not much, I don't think, in the way of prevent plant this year.
Yeah, that's a possibility. That's a fear. It seems like that's been the trend for the last 3 or 4 years. Once you get these final numbers, a lot of people are left scratching their heads saying, where it's almost like every year the total acreage number increases. So it's a little bit of a head scratcher. I think there's a risk of that. So I don't know what the total acreage number will be, but just talking to producers in the, for example, Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, Kentucky, it got really late down there. And I think there were a fair amount of acres switched because of a late spring, late rains. And I got to still believe that there were some acres switched in general, especially up north, say the Dakotas and Minnesota area, northern Minnesota, outside of their main corn growing belt, just because of the price differential between corn and beans. So I think that number one, from a total acreage standpoint, number two, how did that mix between corn and beans end up? Because there are some big changes and some wet weather. It opens the door up for some potential surprises on that acreage report.
Anything that we ought to discuss with the grain stocks numbers?
Well, that's a, you know, that's an issue in itself. Demand, bean, that's part of the reason beans have put this run in, is just unbelievable demand. So, and I think when it's said and done, corn demand has been a lot better than what people have expected. So, yeah, I mean, you throw in a stocks number there too, that's always, any quarterly stocks number has the potential for, you know, big surprises. But you got to wonder if this big demand that we've been seeing maybe doesn't lead to something that's a touch friendly on both corn and beans. But it's always an unknown. And we've seen, you know, a couple times in years past where all of a sudden they find a couple hundred million acres, or they lose a couple hundred million acres, and there's not a big reason for that. So that's always in the back of traders' minds when it comes to stocks reports.
The June report seems for grain stocks to be the one that is most critical as it relates to volatility, and the one that's hardest to pick, and the one they change more often than not at the end of the year when they bring the September one out. So we'll have to keep an eye on it, won't we?
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, you probably couldn't have predicted back in February that we're going to see the volatility we've seen. But, you know, I think that the potential for the volatility only increases over the next few weeks with all those issues we've talked about that are going to kind of come front and center over the next couple of weeks here.
Chip, thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Wednesday afternoon. In today's agricultural news, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Agriculture Committee, Michigan's Debbie Stabenow, says lawmakers are getting close to reaching a deal on GMO labeling. Stabenow says she and the committee's chair, Kansas Republican Pat Roberts, are narrowing the issues surrounding GMO labeling legislation. Stabenow says she and Roberts are meeting constantly. However, they have yet to draft a bill with the full Senate. The bill, aimed at blocking state laws like the Vermont law taking effect July 1st, would set a national GMO labeling standard. To stop the Vermont law in time, the Senate must pass the legislation this week for any hope the House can consider the bill before going on recess next week. Questions remain, of course, over one of the most fundamental issues, being whether on-pack labels should be part of a mandatory disclosure system. Come July 1st, on-pack labeling will become the de facto national standard, as food and beverage manufacturers will be forced to comply with Vermont's state law or potentially face a $1,000 fine per day per product. Let's move to another contentious issue for agriculture, this one drones. The Federal Aviation Administration yesterday announced a rule that will allow the use of drones commercially, including for agricultural purposes. The FAA rule limits most small commercial drone operations to daylight hours and requires operators to get certified every 2 years. The FAA's 624-page rulebook allows commercial drones weighing up to 55 pounds to fly during daylight hours lower than 400 feet in the air, and the aircraft must remain in sight of the operator. The final rule has a 60-day comment period. A White House fact sheet issued yesterday says for agriculture, unmanned aircraft can monitor crop health in real time for farmers who are trying to manage farms. Further, the White House says by reducing the need for manned aircraft in agricultural operations, drones can help reduce fatal agricultural aviation accidents and can increase crop yields by providing higher quality data about the ground below. And finally today, the CME Group will launch European Union wheat futures and options in September. This according to a company news release. CME Group is, of course, the owner of the Chicago Board of Trade and announced the new EU wheat futures this week. CME Group's Tim Andreessen says the new EU wheat futures further positions the CME Globex trading platform as the global destination for wheat trading and risk management. Each contract will represent 50 metric tons of physical EU wheat with specific quality specifications. EU wheat futures and options contracts will be available for trading electronically via the Globex Monday through Friday from 10:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Paris time. EU wheat options will also be available for trading on the company's Chicago trading floor from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. Chicago time. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find us online anytime you'd like, on demand at WILLAG.org. Well, one of the most important items on much of agriculture's to-do list this year is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or the TPP, especially for pork producers. Testifying before the House Ways and Means Trade Subcommittee, the National Pork Producers Council President John Weber told lawmakers this week that the TPP is vital to growing pork exports. NAFB's Michael Clements has more.
With 25% of all pork sales going to exports, Weber says TPP will help expand access to export markets included in the 12-nation trade deal to further increase exports.
Exports have been amazingly strong. Obviously, the headwind of the strong U.S. dollar has slowed some sales down this past year. But despite the strong dollar, we've maintained very good growth throughout the Pacific Rim, or Japan, Mexico, and Canada as well. And TPP will grant us further access into many of those markets where we do not have total access to at this point in time. Will gain us basically tariff-free access over a period of time in those 11 countries. It just ends up being, for most of agriculture, a very good trade deal.
Weber pointed out to panel members that the TPP has become the de facto global trade vehicle, with other countries in the region already asking to join the agreement. Further, he says TPP would set the bar for future trade agreements. Weber expressed concerns, however, about the United States Congress dragging its feet on approval or rejecting the trade agreement.
With 95% of the global population living outside of the United States, in our opinion, you just cannot ignore that statistic. We need to have free and open markets, access to those markets, especially for agriculture. And yes, our concern is we've kind of been laying a little bit low here this past summer with all the rhetoric going on with the presidential election process. But our hope is that a lot of this will quiet down and congressmen will come back to their senses and realize the importance, just how important trade really is to the United States. And when the time is right, we're going to become very much engaged in the passage of TPP.
Weber says pork producers will be joining the conversation with Congress to let them know the importance of passing the TPP.
Believe me, we have been talking TPP to our producers. With the amount of pork we export, it's very easy to do. They're well aware of how important exports are. Exports added $48 this past year to each and every pig that was marketed. Every time you load pigs in the country, you think about that, just how important that market is to us. And so having our constituents engaged on TPP is very easy. We will have them contacting their congressman and expressing their views on how important it is. And really, that's our role in leadership, too, is to just continue to work the halls of Congress. And when the time is right, we're going to really be working on passage of TPP.
The nations included in the trade agreement represent 40% of the global gross domestic product. Michael Clements reporting.
Our thanks, of course, to Michael Clements for his updates from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Stephen Linneberg is on the phone line. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. They make ethanol at that plant. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Are you getting rain there at this point?
Yeah, steady rain here all throughout the day. Sprinkle some downpour. But for the most part, just been pretty steady across the day.
And how did your crops look previous to this rainfall?
Through this drought, Terry, very good. I mean, we've recorded probably 2+ inches of rain twice over the last 2 weeks. In the middle of that was a pretty steady amount of sunshine, so the stuff through here looks extremely good for the time being.
Just as a reminder, old crop was not a good crop for you last year. How are old crop prices holding up at this point?
It depends very much dependent upon farmer movement here locally. Is obviously we're seeing what the electronic side's doing, so if anything's to be made extra there is because corn's not moving and basis needs to get stronger. But at the same time, we feel the opposite as basis sits very steady, as it's very equal to what the rail bids are today. So wouldn't expect a major improvement in basis just because the futures continues to decline.
The ethanol plant is operating well?
Yep, very much so. Full bore.
How have producers been on making forward sales for new crop?
For the most part, pretty good. The question is when it got to the recent highs, if you put a position on or if you felt like this thing was headed indeed for a $5 market and got a little too bullish with the drought-like condition talk that we've been hearing a lot of. Very well can still surface, but at this point in time, I think guys get, you know, an additional 10 to 20% of coverage there on the recent highs, but some that didn't do much at all.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, Delphi's 388. Cash to climbers is 398.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Stephen Linneberg with the Andersons from their climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Tell me about the weather that we've had, where the rain has come, and what you think it means.
Well, certainly we have had a nice 24 hours of rainfall across parts of the region from north central Iowa into central Illinois, and are seeing it expanding into parts of Indiana. And over the next 24 hours through the night tonight and into the day tomorrow, we are going to see a further expansion in this rain to include northeastern Illinois, northern Indiana, actually a big part of Indiana, and a big part of Ohio. And what we're going to end up with is a really nice, moist topsoil situation from just about all of that region. So northern and eastern Iowa into Ohio will be looking very good at the topsoil. And at the subsoil level, we are not depleting moisture very much. There's a few pockets out there running slightly short, but with this rain, we're going to conserve that subsoil moisture. So in that corridor, everything's looking pretty darn good. And Minnesota is in great shape as well from previous rain, but we do have a problem out there in the southwestern Corn Belt, Kansas, and parts of central Missouri, as well as southeastern Nebraska and southwestern Iowa. Not doing too well there. We are running short to very short on topsoil moisture in some of that region. There is opportunity for rain, though, coming up over the next 5 to 6 days in that part of the Midwest as well. And I think that they won't get as much rain volume-wise as we've seen in the heart of the Midwest, but there will be some temporary relief out there as well. So the good news is that. The bad news is that in the following week, the second week of the two-week outlook, we're probably going to see many areas dry back down again with rising temperatures in the western Corn Belt perhaps as well. So we'll keep a close eye on the whole situation. But for right now, it's looking pretty good.
Do you have an idea of how high the temperatures might be when we get into the pollination time? Runs something like July 10 to July 18 at this point for most of the crop across the primary growing regions in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana?
Well, I do think we'll see 90s occurring on a regular basis on the west side of the Missouri River in that first week of July. Temperatures over 100 in the minor areas out there in the plains, but in the area between the Missouri and Mississippi River area, we'll probably see those temperatures still holding middle 80s to lower 90s, and I don't think we'll probably see it much warmer than that until late in that first week of July and on into the second week, and then we'll probably see some middle 90s in that region, maybe once in a while an upper 90 in Missouri especially, and in central and southwestern parts of Iowa.
So bottom line today, the crop is in better condition going forward than it would have been a week ago.
Absolutely, and we'll have to keep our fingers crossed as we move through that pollination period.
And then if you take one quick look at the Chinese corn crop, what do you see there?
China is having a wonderful year so far. There is no problem in that country. There's maybe a little bit too much moisture perhaps in some of the southern areas, but it really looks very good. There's been timely rain. In the last 4 or 5 days, there's been a big decline in topsoil moisture in parts of the North China Plain, but I think they're going to get more timely rain that will leave them in fairly good shape as we move on into the early July. So I don't see any problems in China right now. A good crop is in the making.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason.